From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have for you today. Actor Matthew Modine, yes, the big-time Yankee fan, will talk about his Bronx Bombers and much more. Plus, Yahoo Sports national baseball writer Tim Brown. That, plus Phil Sanchez's Diamond Dust. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
I know. Some people will not let this sit well with them. That Angels shortstop, Andrelton Simmons, has opted out of the Angels season with less than a week to go. And here's the bad part, is that the Angels are still mathematically in the playoff race for a wild card. But I'm going to err here on the side of caution. And with the coronavirus, COVID-19, and just people worrying about their family and their health, it's hard for me to rip on Simmons if this is what he believes is the best thing for his family. It just seems strange that you would play almost the entire season, come to the final week where your team needs you, and then decide that you will not finish the regular season. But it is what it is in 2020.
Number two.
I don't know about you, but the playoffs are less than a week to start. And, here we go. We're NBA, NHL-style playoffs with 16 teams making it and two out of three to start. But here's the real interesting thing. Next Tuesday, are you ready? ESPN and ABC begin televising 7 of the 8 first-round, 3-game Major League Baseball playoff series. That means that a possible 21 games in 3 days you'll be able to watch. Did you hear what I said? A possible 21 playoff games in 3 days. So this will be uncharted territory. Out is the one-game play-in for the wild card. In is now 16 teams, but this will be a smorgasbord. It'll be like a college basketball on the first day of the tournament. There will be wall-to-wall baseball for 3 days. Enjoy it.
Number three.
It's time for me to give you my biggest surprise in a good way for the season and the biggest disappointment for the season. And the biggest surprise, I got to say, is the San Diego Padres. I mean, I get it. They were making moves. You know, when they signed Manny Machado's, had a great year for them. But the emergence of Fernando Tatis Jr. Just added another dimension there. And then to be able to also compete with the Dodgers and to be traders at the trade deadline and pick up Mike Clevinger from the Indians. That, to me, said a lot about the Padres and about having a chance in this postseason. And then again, don't forget that this is not going to be a one-year deal. They got young players, young stars, and Padres are going to be around to make some noise. So, yes, they are the biggest surprise, making their first playoff appearance in 14 years. Amazing. The biggest disappointment could either be the Washington Nationals, who will not be able to defend their World Series championship of a year ago, and the Boston Red Sox, who the bottom fell out of everything. I got it. Chris Sale was hurt. The Nationals had injuries as well. So both really suffered with injuries this year. But it is disappointing that the Nationals couldn't make the playoffs when you think about the expansion. And for the Red Sox to be as awful as they have been is pretty shocking. Yes, we know they traded Mookie Betts and David Price, but for the bottom to fall out seems a bit extreme.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome into the podcast Matthew Modine, of course, the actor. Brought to you today here by Full Metal Jacket, which is available now on 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray Combo Pack and Digital. Stanley Kubrick's 1987 War Classic is available on 4K resolution for the first time. And Matthew, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. It's exciting to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. I'm excited about this. Tell me about the re-release, you know, in this HD Full Metal Jacket. You got to be excited.
Yeah, so Leon Vitali, who worked with Stanley Kubrick from Barry Lyndon on, so Barry Lyndon, The Shining, Full Metal Jacket, and Eyes Wide Shut, there's not an aspect of filmmaking that he doesn't know about. And so Leon Vitali, actually, there's a documentary film that you can see that talks about him and his life called Film Worker. Amazing documentary. It's a great insight into Stanley Kubrick, but also Leon Vitali. So Leon has remastered this film. He's gone in and frame by frame of Full Metal Jacket, taken the negative of the film and scanned each frame to create this 4K, you know, ultra HD experience. And I've only seen little pieces of it, but it's like a brand new movie. There's so much detail that when you have a negative, there's information that the motion picture camera catches and puts on a negative, a piece of celluloid, and then when you make a positive of that negative, the prints can, you know, the prints are never as great as what of the amount of information that's in the negative. So to be able to go and frame by frame scan each of those frames, there's so much information that you couldn't see when you were watching the movie, the detail and the remastering of the sound and the music. And it's a testament to Stanley Kubrick that after 33 years, that this film is still a part of the conversation, that so many things from the film, sentences, you know, things, the lines that people spoke, have become part of our everyday vernacular. You know, you talk the talk, you walk the walk. You know, you're the kind of guy that could suck a golf ball through a garden hose. Two live crew with the sampling of the "Me So Horny, Me Love
Right.
You Long Time."
Yes.
And putting it in the song.
No doubt. Our guest, Matthew Modine, of course, the actor. And he joins us here on Inside the Parker. And yes, you are a baseball fan, a Yankees fan. I know you are. This season,
yes, sir.
You know, it's been a little crazy. You know, it's almost down to the end, Matthew. 60 games. They had a rough patch in the middle of the season with a lot of injuries, but they're playing better. Are you happy where they're headed as playoffs are about to start?
Yeah, I was happy they got those last 10 wins in a row. And, you know, we slipped a little bit now. We finally lost to Boston. We lost a game. But I think that the Bombers are looking good. I'm excited, and you know, it's a shortened season, so everything is really different. It's sad, but it's a part of life that we don't get to go to the games and you know, cheer together and celebrate everything that's New York and the Yankees. But you know, that's the situation, and we'll get through it. We'll get through it, and I think that we're going to come out the other side of this better. I think that this has given us a lot of opportunities to look within and understand ourselves a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I know you did a 2018 preseason hype video for the Yankees. And, you know, the playoffs the last few years, the Yankees, despite all the injuries, Matthew, they've gone to the ALCS, had a chance to get to the World Series in two of the last 3 years, losing to the Astros. When you see the Astros and know that they're cheating scandal, do you feel a little cheated about, you know, especially last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why they didn't. I mean, they must have an asterisk next to their name, but I don't know why the baseball commissioner didn't take it away, didn't take that championship away. I mean, we can't celebrate people for cheating. And, you know, I mean, I'm a New York Jets Giants fan as well. I say Jets Giants because I love them both. But, you know, how many times Belichick got caught cheating up there in New England?
No doubt about it. I always say he can't be considered the greatest coach ever because of those marks of cheating.
Yeah.
The one thing, speaking of cheating, I think sometimes baseball and Yankee fans feel cheated because Aaron Judge just can't seem to stay healthy for a full year. When he was healthy to start the season, were you excited? Because we've seen what the guy can do when he's out there and he can play every day.
He's amazing. I mean, he's a specimen. You know, I've never seen somebody that big move as fast as he does, swing a bat like he does. I mean, he's kind of a freak of nature, but he's one of the most exciting baseball players in the sport. So I think that, you know, he's very young. And I think that every year that goes by, he's going to understand his body a little bit better and know how to train a little bit differently. And he's going to be fine. You know, he's got three or four or five really good years coming ahead of him. I think that we're all going to be proud that he's a Yankee.
Matthew, before the season started, I picked the Dodgers and the Yankees. I think they have the best two rosters. They haven't met since 1981. Would that be an awesome World Series if these two teams met?
That's what I was hoping for a couple of years ago. That would have just, you know, East versus West, the old Brooklyn Dodgers, you know, the history, the legacy. That would have been spectacular. But, you know, it wasn't our fate. But, you know, We can hope that that's a great rivalry there, you know.
No doubt. All right, thank you so much. I do want to say, in addition to the 4K release of Full Metal Jacket, also put out a Full Metal Jacket diary project, which was originally a limited edition book, you know, out of print, and is now an award-winning iPad appumentary and audio book. Matthew, again, thanks for joining the podcast, and all the best of luck as you move forward.
Thank you. Your listeners should know that the iPad app is free. It's for a limited time to celebrate this 4K release of the film. So you can, if you don't have an iPad, borrow one from somebody and download it because it's free. And anything that you wanted to know about Stanley Kubrick that we didn't talk about today, or the experience of making that movie, it's all in that appumentary, Full Metal Jacket Diary.
All right, Matthew, thank you so much for your time, man. That was fun. Appreciate you.
All right, thank you so much. Go Yankees.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Now that we've reached the final week of this truncated regular season, it's fun to look back and find the players who made the greatest strides in this crazy 2020 and those who took a step or two back. Baseball Savant has a whole section of leaderboards where you can sort by the year-to-year changes of all their advanced metrics. You can see that, no surprise, Fernando Tatis Jr. has the largest increase in hard hit percentage from last year, going from 44% to 64%. But would you be shocked to learn that second on that list was Braves catcher Travis d'Arnaud, who is hitting 80 points over his career average? The Orioles' Anthony Santander had a breakout campaign prior to his season-ending injury, increasing his OPS over 100 points from 2019, along with nearly doubling his home run rate. Is that because he had a league-high increase in his launch angle from 15 degrees to nearly 25? Now, on the mound, the Braves' Max Fried is having a Cy Young-type season with a 190 ERA and zero home runs allowed. Could that be because he's decreased his average exit velocity by a league-high 6.3 miles per hour from 89 to a league-low 82.9? And on the other end, we know that Madison Bumgarner is having a season to forget in the desert with a career-high 736 ERA. Now, the data tells us that his average fastball velocity has decreased a league-high 3.7 miles per hour to just a tick under 86. And with four more years left on that deal, the D-backs might feel a bit snake-bitten.
That ball is...
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
I don't believe it!
or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
Jacob DeGrom struck out 14 Tampa Bay Rays Monday night in seven innings while surrendering just two earned runs and still lost 2-1. The Mets are struggling, we know that. Looks like they're not going to make the playoff, and he's clearly the only consistent star on that team. JR, is it foul or fair to say that DeGrom regrets signing that five-year, $137.5 million contract, which will keep him in Queens through 2025?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
DeGrom is going to get over $30 million per season in the next 5 years. So that should soften the pain of having to play for a team that's only made the playoffs twice since 2006 and hasn't seen a World Series win since 1986. Some would say DeGrom is wasting his best years on a Mets team that seems more worried about making headlines, overrating themselves, and pinching pennies than actually trying to go out and win. The 60-game season is no different. They came in with high hopes and are leaving without a playoff berth. Maybe the new ownership will improve things. But if DeGrom wants to win a World Series in the near future, then maybe he'll have some regret. But if he can wait another 3 years for the Mets to be good, then being the face of the franchise in the meantime isn't a bad deal. All he has to do right now is really stack his cash. Because at 32, he's no spring chicken, and he'll be pushing 40, nearly 40, when his contract ends. So for now, he has to enjoy the Cy Young and the All-Star appearances in the Big Apple with no regret.
Take out the papers in the trash.
Yeah. It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is at OSU Legacy, and he tweeted me this. Dick Williams and David Bell, they are scrambling to make the playoffs again. After missing seven straight years, we are tired of the Reds and their lack of winning. They let go of Dusty Baker and have been in the toilet ever since. If you want to be on Trash Talking Twitter, man, hit me up on my Twitter, at RobParkerFS1. And if you come strong and hard to the mic, yes, you too will make it on the podcast.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast one of my favorite people, a friend of mine, Tim Brown, a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. Tim, welcome to the podcast, buddy.
Parkway, thanks for having me, man. How are you?
Man, doing good, hanging in. I can't believe the baseball season, Tim, will be over next week and the playoffs in a couple of days after that. Let's just jump right into it. One team that most baseball fans and a lot of baseball players don't want to see make the playoffs is the Houston Astros, those cheating Houston Astros. But it looks like they're going to get in with the second spot. Will they be the most hated team in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. You know, because I think fans feel like they never got a true shot at them, you know, this year. To go stand in front of them in ballparks all over the country and let them know how they felt about that World Series and guys like Bregman and Altuve and Springer and all those guys. So I do think that first off, they can pitch a little bit on the front end. The bullpen has been young and funky, but they could be kind of dangerous. They've got enough good arms out front with starting with Greinke that they could not be an easy out. But just in terms of, who they are, what they stand for, the fact, again, that the world didn't get a clean shot at them all season long, I think that's the team that a lot of people are going to be rooting for to bounce early.
No doubt about it. Of course, the Dodgers, they do the same thing every year. They just clinched their eighth straight Western Division, which is nice, but they haven't won a World Series, Tim, since 1988.
And I've heard something about that, Parkway.
Yeah, just something. And you can win all the divisions you want. Don't they have to win the World Series? I mean,
you know, it's such an interesting year, right? Because, now season after season, fall after fall, the talk has been, you know, 1988, and every night you see the Kirk Gibson replay and the highlights and all that. How do you feel if you break through in this kind of season? I mean, you certainly take it
right.
because of all of the obstacles, all of the other stuff that came along with this year. But you and I both know it'll come with an asterisk. And even though the effort, the sort of the dedication, the protocols, the being grown-ups during this period, you know, the isolation, now going into a bubble, all that stuff. I mean, I think you should. It's worthy of mention alongside of 60-game season, 16-team postseason chaos, all this stuff. But wouldn't it be funny if this were the year they broke through and everyone thought, you know, okay, you won, but really, you know, win it in a real year.
Our guest is Tim Brown, national baseball columnist for Yahoo Sports. Speaking of the Dodgers, Mookie Betts came over, signed a big contract before the season started, has had a tremendous year for the Dodgers. But who would be your National League MVP? Is it Fernando Tatis Jr., who has put the Padres in play, or is it Mookie Betts?
You know, this has been a fascinating sort of topic for the last few weeks because just about 2.5 weeks ago, talking about the other league, Mike Trout had a day in which he upped his OPS by 72 points in one day. And this is in, you know, the first week of September. So, you know, you start looking at these things, Parkway, as you probably always did, around September 1st and thought to yourself, okay, who's the guy? But so much is changing. You know, just last week, you would have gotten a flood of votes for Jose Abreu in the American League, and now the conversation is Tim Anderson's a better player. He's not even the best player on his team. Maybe Tim Anderson is. Fernando Tatis Jr. has not had a great September. If you were to pick an MVP of that team right now, over 2 months, it would probably be Manny Machado. Now, Mookie Betts has been amazing, really amazing, especially when you consider that Cody Bellinger has had an off year. Max Muncy has not hit the way he's hit in the past. But I would say that Freddie Freeman down in Atlanta, as of today, and stuff can change over the next 4 or 5 days, is probably the most valuable player in the National League.
Wow. There you go. And the Braves just won their third straight division. No, I got it. I love that. Speaking about off the board, but they're back on the board now. Coming into the season, Tim, I picked the Yankees and Dodgers. I thought both have the two best rosters. Obviously, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton couldn't stay healthy. They're back now. People buried the Yankees before they ran off 10 wins in a row. They're back. They're getting healthier as the day goes on and as we get closer to the playoffs. Where do the Yankees factor in?
The Yankees factor in as a really dangerous team. You know, I think there's a reason why the Rays won that division, and that's because they can really pitch. And in fact, I picked them to win the division because in a crazy year where you have to get creative and you have to have depth and you have to have certain sort of buy-ins in all those little dark corners where you win baseball games, the Rays were always really good at that. And so the fact that they're going to win the division, not the Yankees, is not totally surprising. I think that as of right now, the Yankees draw the Twins in that first best of three, and the Twins have something about the Yankees. They just cannot get past that series. So, you know, I mean, it's going to come down to who pitches well in the early innings of those games after Gerrit Cole, right? I mean, you're going to have Gerrit Cole in game one, presumably. And then what happens after that? With Tanaka or Happ, the kid Garcia. You know, I think the bullpen is fine. I think that they're going to be able to hit. But I think they're going to have to work just to get through that that division series. And as a bit of an older team, as a bit of a creaky team in places, this is maybe not a great setup for them. Not a single day off inside the wild card series, which is best of three, inside the division series, which is best of five, or inside the LCS, which is best of seven. That, to me, sounds like you might want to be a little lighter on your feet, a little younger. But you know what? The Yankees, the puncher's chance, they could, you know, they could just freaking run you with that power. So,
All right.
I think they're interesting.
They will be. His name is Tim Brown, national baseball columnist for Yahoo. Tim, always Brownie, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for the baseball knowledge.
Pleasure, Parkway. Nice catching up, brother.
No doubt. Stay safe.
You too, man.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
Well, that was fast. It's hard to believe, but it's the final week of the shortened season. And by the way, remember when a lot of sports writers and hosts, not all, but a lot, said that there was no way MLB could finish a season? Yeah, I do as well. But I digress. I personally have loved the almost 60-game season. In a way, it's been a lot like the NFL, where every game counted and fans are left wanting more. Now, old-school baseball traditionalists are going to hate this, but I think Major League Baseball can learn a lot from this season. And LDH loved it. Fewer games? Love that as well. Seven-inning doubleheaders? Yes, please. Sorry, Rob. In fact, I would suggest that all games are seven innings. Now, I know that it will never happen, but in a day and age where people are busier than ever before and attention spans have diminished to the point of no return, are 3.5, sometimes 4-hour games really a model for success? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, does this guy even like baseball? The answer is yes. I actually love baseball, and that's why I'm for dramatically changing the game. Listen, if you're over 35 years old, enough to remember when baseball was king. You're definitely old enough to remember that. Now, not so much. I would argue that baseball has fallen to the third most popular sport behind the NFL and NBA, and the NHL knocking on the door. So what have those leagues done that baseball hasn't? Well, they've been willing to adapt over time, change as they go. In short, they've been progressive, whereas baseball has been traditional to a fault. Yes, I know. You and me, we're not going anywhere. Well, we'll always watch baseball. We're the diehards, but the younger generation, the generation that plays Fortnite and watches homemade videos on YouTube over actual TV, they're not hanging around for six-hour Yankees-Red Sox games on a Saturday afternoon in September. I'm sorry to break that news to you. They're just not. As the saying goes, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. And for Major League Baseball, that's just not good enough anymore.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out. Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Here's another reason why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. As the playoffs are about to start, the great thing about the playoffs, and we've seen this as years gone by, is that players out of nowhere, rookies, young players, can somehow, some way, make a huge difference and come up big time and change the course of playoffs. And that's the stuff that you like to see, and that's what baseball offers. It's not very often in the other sports where somebody you really, really don't know or a young player can have that moment and change the course of a playoffs. But I can always remember it was Bob Welch against Reggie Jackson in the World Series, and he got the best of Reggie and changed the fortunes for the Dodgers. I can remember that. But there are a couple players out there to keep an eye on. Dustin May, the right-handed pitcher from the Dodgers, the 23-year-old, he's a guy that could come up big for the Dodgers in the postseason. He's had a really good season for L.A., Another right-handed pitcher to look out for is Devin Williams from the Brewers. After moving from a starting role into the bullpen last year, Williams, man, has emerged as a dominant force out of the pen. In 2020, coming into Wednesday posting a 0.39 ERA and a 0.61 whip with, get this, 47 strikeouts in 23 innings. That's 18.4 strikeouts per nine innings. Yes, the 26-year-old has a devastating changeup, one of the best pitches we've seen in 2020. So there you go. Look out for the kids in the postseason, have an impact. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.